Welcome to Don't Call Me. I'm your host, M. Thank you for being here. Just a brief disclaimer before we get started. Names have been changed to protect the innocent and to protect me. What you're about to hear is my story as I lived it. It is not told out of vengeance, but out of necessity. I'm not here to accuse. I'm here to testify. This is about what happened to me and what I carried in silence for far too long. We've already talked about the call, what led up to it, what it meant. The head shaving, the coming back, the moment I had to ask for help to protect my child. And making that call wasn't about drama or revenge. It was about doing what any mother would do when something doesn't sit right in her bones, and mine were screaming. But what I haven't talked about yet is what came after. After the call, I didn't go home. I didn't have a home. I was staying on a friend's couch, one of the only people who didn't look at me like I was radioactive. I wasn't a criminal, but I was treated like one. I was broke, grieving, alone, and just trying to stay close to the children I loved. What triggered the investigation wasn't a pediatrician with a concern. It was my abusive ex-husband's mother. She was an LPN and she knows how the system works. She knew that if she used the right language, if she said the kind of thing that can't be ignored, it had to be investigated. And that's exactly what she did. I know this because I saw the pediatrician's chart myself. Her name was right there. Uncensored. They'd given me a copy and there was no mistake. This is the same woman who once asked me if his penis was really as big as he claimed. She told me that if he weren't her son and if she were 20 years younger, she'd totally go for him. And it wasn't a joke. That was the tone of our entire dynamic. It was sick. She was obsessed. And I was supposed to laugh it off, smile, play nice. So no, her call to the pediatrician wasn't about concern, it was about control. And she made that call the business day after she and I got into an argument in her driveway. I had gone to pick up my kids, but they weren't there. They had been staying at her house, and without telling me, they had been moved. No warning, no heads up, just gone. They were over at my parents' house. And I believe that's the same night I was sat down with the police. It felt coordinated, like pieces were being moved behind the scenes. Nobody told me anything. I was left to figure it out as it happened. Everybody else had the map, and I was just being cornered. And her phone call? That wasn't concern. That was retaliation. Because until I called the police, until that driveway confrontation, no one had said a word to a doctor. Not once. Then came the investigation. Not into what happened to me, but into me. I felt relief at first. Relief when I sat down with the investigator. Because for a brief moment, I thought maybe the truth would matter. Maybe someone would listen. Maybe I wasn't alone in this. But that's not how it works. They asked their questions and I answered. That was that. No one who spread the lie had to answer for it. No one who stood back and watched had to speak. The state trooper had just shown up at my parents' house. They knew, and they didn't tell me. Not to protect me, but because somehow they believed I might run. That if I knew, I wouldn't cooperate. That moment gutted me. Not just the silence, but what it implied about who they thought I was. Because I would have stood there. I always do. But they didn't believe that, or maybe they didn't want to. And that was when the betrayal sharpened. because it was easier for them to believe that something terrible had happened than it was to believe that someone close to them could make it up. To admit that I was telling the truth about one thing meant accepting that I might have been telling the truth about everything. About the manipulation, the family abuse, the violence, the history. And there are people in my story who would rather rewrite me than revisit him. Because if I was right, everything they built would crack. And so they didn't reach for me. They handed me over to silence and called it protection. I got a job. It was whatever I could find. I worked through exhaustion. I stayed close even when I was barely surviving. Because that's what motherhood looked like for me. Not photo albums, court orders, persistence, presence. That's what they don't tell you about survival. That it can cost you everything, and still it doesn't come with a parade, but I just kept showing up, and I still am. Thank you for listening. This isn't about revenge. It's about remembrance. It's about saying I was there, and this is what it cost me to live. As always, take care of yourselves and one another.